And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Suzanne Wilson, our special guest, coming up as we're talking about spirit guides, mediums, and all the great paranormal stuff you've enjoyed next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. George Norrie with you along with Suzanne Wilson. Suzanne Wilson, the carefree medium, is an intuition expert, teaching medium, author. A couple of books include When Your Partner Doesn't Believe, Soul Smart, of course. And she hosts a monthly podcast called Chat with Spirit Guides, a founding board member emeritus for the Afterlife Research and Education Institute. She holds a master's degree in public affairs policy, a bachelor's degree in management, certifications from Stanford University as well. And calling upon her extensive experience in education and leadership, Suzanne is a researcher in teaching medium and consciousness, intuition, mediumship, and healing. What a great biography, Susan. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be back. But you know what I really am, George? I'm a medium and sort of a paranormal nerd. I get into all things paranormal, and it keeps life interesting, doesn't it?
How did this happen for you?
In childhood, pretty much, I could see lights and spirits around people, and I was that weird little outcast kid, and I didn't want to go to school, and finally, my granddad took me aside and asked me, what's going on with you? And I confided in him. And to my surprise, he said, I see them too. And it was really helpful to me because he was a preacher. And he told me that this was from God and never to fear it. And so that set me on a good path.
Well, we're going to have some interesting tonight conversation, Suzanne, and then we'll take calls next hour with you. Well, let's talk a little bit about spirit guides. What do they mean to you? What's a spirit guide?
Well, first off, I've been studying spirit guides because I had one since childhood. I would be walking to school, and on the days that one of the little neighbor girls weren't walking with me, I would otherwise be alone, this little red-haired boy would just show up and walk with me. He never spoke a word, and when we finally got to school, he just kept walking past the school. Sometimes he'd turn around and wave goodbye. And then he'd keep going, and I was safely at school. And one day when I was walking home from school, because he'd walk me home too if there was nobody to accompany me. Back in those days, it was a lot safer to walk alone, but I didn't to. So my mom is looking out the window, and she said, wow, you're having a real conversation. What's going on out there? There's nobody there. And I told her, yes, there is. And I kept insisting there was a little boy. So I talked with my grandfather about that, too. And he told me that sometimes God sends us guides or guardians to help us to feel safe and to help us literally walk our paths. And that began a lifelong interest in guides, and I've done a lot of research since then.
Are the guides like guardian angels that we were taught about when we were kids?
You know, I think these terms can be misleading for people. And so if we agreed on a terminology so that we all have a point of reference, that is helpful. So we could agree that there's a guardian angel and there is a guide. A primary guide or a master spirit guide, one that's with you from birth to death, life in between lives. And the guardian angel, there's one angel that's with you from birth to death and life in between lives. But what we're really talking about are different frequencies, an angelic realm frequency versus a guide who may have lived many, many lifetimes on earth, and that's how they amassed all their expertise to become your guide. But in different cultures, like, for example, I've spent a lot of time in the UK, they will talk about guardians. And so an American hears that and thinks, oh, they're talking about guardian angels. No, they're using the word guardian for guide. So at the end of the day, what's important is that your whoever is protecting you from spirit and assisting you from spirit, that they are being helpful and healing to you, whatever you call them.
Do the guides ever abandon us, Suzanne?
No, but we abandon ourselves sometimes by not listening to our own inner voice, by not perceiving or paying attention to the signs, the symbols, the synchronicities, those weird coincidences that seem to point the way for us. They are always with us.
Do guides know everything?
No, absolutely not. And that's a really tricky part, George, because people will go to get a psychic to connect with guides, or they'll go and do cards to make their own direct connection, or a pendulum, or sit in meditation, and they'll ask us specific questions. For example, am I going to get married, and how many children will I have? And they expect that answer. And, you know, guides can be a little flippant sometime and say, well, do you want to get married and do you want to have kids? Because really it's a free will type of thing. But they can see a little bit out in front of us based on our current trajectory.
Remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart?
Absolutely.
Clarence the Angel, was that his spirit guide, his guardian angel?
I think so. I think what we were being shown is a relatable everyman. You know, Jimmy Stewart, he was that guy that would be like your best buddy. Women liked him, men wanted to be him or hang out with him. And so we could relate to that character and know that no matter how bad you think you have it, that there's always something to be thankful for, and that there's someone in spirit who's taking care of us, even though it's not happening necessarily in the time frame we wanted.
And they gave him a great name in the movie, George.
I love it.
George Bailey. It was a classic. I mean, that's one of those movies. My mother sat me down with her when I was about 7 years old, and she said, you will remember this for the rest of your life. And she was right.
Well, and because spirit guides have been around for centuries, I mean, we can go back to the ancient Greeks. We can go back to 17th century, 18th century. We can go to Carl Jung had a spirit guide. He called Philemon. Carl Jung, a very influential scientist and psychologist. There are many famous spirit guides in history that have been documented. And when we hear their words, when we read their words a century later, or however long it is, those words still resonate today. It's like that saying, you know, the proof is in the eating of the pudding.
That's true.
These words that they leave us with resonate. But we don't have to be fabulously famous, significantly important people in a culture to have spirit guides. Every listener right now listening to this or listening to it later, you have spirit guides too.
How do we know if it's a spirit guide telling us what to do as opposed to that little inner voice that's within all of us?
Well, I'll tell you something. There's an overlap here, and this is something that you can learn, but if you're not sure if it's coming from within you or if it's coming from a guide, first measure it by this standard that Edgar Cayce taught, and I know I use this all of the time. Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet, and I know you've talked about him on the show. You've had a lot of guests.
Oh, yeah.
There are scholars in Cayce. He said that whenever we tune into spirit, let the messages be intended to be helpful, hopeful, and healing. And I'll tell you something. You know it's coming just from within you. If it comes in all panicky, you get a thought that's like scary to you, it makes you panic, it's heavily emotionally charged, your guides won't do that to you. That's a thought that comes in, an insight that comes in, a picture that pops into your head that you better just take a breath, sit down, and re-examine instead of acting upon it without taking a closer look. Because information that's coming from higher self, you, that part of you that's always connected with the spirit world, and your guides in concert, it comes in very calm, very matter of fact, and it's helpful, hopeful, and healing. But George, sometimes you can't tell if it's your own soul talking or if it's the guides talking. In that respect, just go for the quality of the message.
Can some people be tricked and they think they're dealing with a spirit guide and they're not?
There's a fear that many people have when they begin a class, because I've been teaching online since before COVID, before everybody was on Zoom. We used to spend hours teaching people how to use Zoom. Never everybody knows how to do it.
Yeah.
But I would have people call and email saying, I'm scared. I'm scared of taking a class with spirit guides. I'm scared of learning, because what if there's something scary out there? And we tell them, you know, are you being treated for a mental health issue right now? Do you feel that you're grounded and centered? If so, you know, come on into the class. But I will tell you, I have done some research, and I did work with a client one time who was tricked, but there were reasons behind it. There was drug addiction with that client. There was extreme grief, and they had actually created sort of like a poltergeist, the PK phenomenon in their own house.
And who did the tricking?
Yeah, I mean, when you have that kind of stuff going on, of course you're going to set yourself up for inviting in something you don't want. Most people don't do that.
And was the tricking done by another being, a spirit, what?
I believe it was the djinn. And
which is a Middle Eastern for like
yes.
A horrible entity, I guess, right?
Yeah, they're not too cool. I don't run into them very often. And again, this particular person had been wanting to connect with guides, but was also using heroin, was also, you know, not being kind to others. And there were a lot of, like, that punches holes and rips in the person's auric field that can let in what some people call darkness. I like to think of as just a lack of light. The djinn were first talked about in Middle Eastern literature centuries ago. That's where we got the word the genie. And Rosemary
right.
Ellen Guiley actually taught me
yep.
a lot about them.
I miss that lady.
I know.
What a tragedy.
I wanted to call her so many times since she passed, and I have had a little bit of contact with her, not as much as a lot of people, because I didn't get to know her personally real well, but professionally. But I got to discuss a case with her one time, and she taught me about how the djinn are these tricksters, but that it's a tiny, tiny, tiny little percent of people connecting with spirit guides that will run across that. If you're being a good person, doing the right thing as best you can every day, is not going to happen to you.
Now, what about these negative entities, though? Can they trick you? Can they fool you, even you?
I will tell you something right now. If I know that I don't feel my best, I don't open up.
You do not.
For spirit. I just don't do it.
Is this from past training or what? Experience?
Well, that's a great question. It's from past training. It's from past experience. I don't seek haunted houses per se, but I had to stay in one at one time when I really wasn't feeling well. I was rehabbing from an injury, and I felt like I was under attack all night long, and I just felt weak. And so I don't open myself up when I don't feel at my best. But by the same token, George, none of that stuff can hurt me. It can just startle me, so I'm really not scared.
Interesting take on that. It's confusing for some individuals, though, between the good and the bad, isn't it?
It can be confusing for individuals who don't establish a baseline for how they feel around spirit. You need an awareness of your own physical body. You need to feel grounded, like I'm grounded, I'm centered. Walking out in Mother Nature can do that. Sitting and listening to a song that you really like. Some people like to be real zen to get grounded and centered and meditate. Other people like to dance around the room and bring up their joy and their vibration. And if you know how your body should feel with the energies around you, you can easily tell the difference when there's an energy you don't want around you. So it really is a rare instance that there's anything negative.
Now, you have the ability to tap into other people's spirit guides, don't you?
I do. Having had an academic background, I wanted to be tested as a medium, and so I submitted myself to scientific testing. I've been in peer-reviewed research papers, and I'm happy about that. But I've moved less from the one-on-one mediumship readings, bringing through deceased loved ones, into training new mediums, you know, to do that. And I've been focusing on teaching people how to develop their intuition so they can do their own readings and make their own direct connection with their loved ones. But also, I'm really having a lot of fun helping people meet their guides. It is the coolest thing because it opens up all these possibilities in life.
When we take calls next hour with folks who might have just a question for you, but what if they want to meet their spirit guide? Can you help them?
Let's do it.
Now, tell me the procedure. How will it work? Somebody calls in, what do they do?
All right, so here's what we can do. If you have a caller and they just want to know, tell me about my guide, I need to know their first name of the caller and to hear their voice.
Okay.
And I will say, Spirit, show me, help me.
Well, I'll give you their first name, and then you'll hear their voice when they start talking to you.
That's it. That's all. If they want to ask a question, a life issue question, without naming anybody's names or anything specific or confidential, I'll see if there is a guide that has a pearl of wisdom. Now, the one caveat to this, George, is guides don't direct you. They inform you. They give you more information so that you can make your own best decision with more calm and peace. But I am absolutely thrilled and honored to tune into guides.
All right, we'll do it. And keep it to about a minute and a half a person, if you can.
Sounds good.
Because they'll be calling you like crazy.
Intuition.
In your opinion, what is intuition?
It is the Godhead within us. It is the divine connection. It is that spark, that light, that is the universal consciousness, that is what we are. In effect, it is what links all of us and makes us one.
Is it a gift that we all possess?
It is a birthright.
Really?
That we all possess.
That's pretty strong.
Yes. I'm not any more special than anybody else. The difference is I opened my gift and developed it.
Some people, Suzanne, do not act on their intuition. Why?
It may not be in their life path. Perhaps they're here to work on different overall themes or archetypes in their lives. Perhaps they're afraid of what they may learn about themselves. There are many, many reasons. And you'll see people being very, very successful, but not very, very intuitive, and at some point they may crash and burn. And that will be the opportunity to open up their hearts and to say, Spirit, help me, show me, help me feel.
How can people use intuition in their day-to-day life to make it even better, to enhance it?
When you first wake up in the morning, why not say, thank you, I'm here another day, instead of, oh my God, it's Monday or whatever. And give me work to do, give me the resources to do it, and what do I need to know today? You may get a flash of a picture of something that's going to happen, an insight. You may hear a word, something that will help you if you practice it daily.
Interesting take on all of this. And do you think intuition is particularly important for people to get by in their day-to-day life?
I don't think it's ever been more important, George. The world is changing so fast around us. How do you keep up? How do you continue to feel connected to other people if you're not tapping in? Part of being more intuitive is being more compassionate towards yourself and towards other people, because it plugs you into that universal consciousness and centers you.
We're going to come back in a moment with Suzanne Wilson, a couple of her books again, When Your Partner Doesn't Believe, and Soul Smart, her website, carefreemedium.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. She's been doing this for a number of years. I've met her at conferences. She's got a podcast called Chat with Spirit Guides, and she's very good at what she does. A little bit later on tonight, we'll take your phone calls with her. You have questions about spirit guides and the intuition. Or if you just want to tap into your own spirit guide, give her a chance. But we'll be back in a moment with more on Coast to Coast AM. Hi, and welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Suzanne Wilson. Suzanne, how often do you tap into your spirit guides?
Every single day. And I can feel my primary or master guide, the one that's always with me, right to my right shoulder, just kind of stepped back a little bit with a wry smile, kind of just watching me go through life.
Now, what did they tell you about the pandemic, for crying out loud?
Well, like many people, I knew something was coming. I didn't know what it was before the pandemic hit. In fact, I had seen you and Tommy and a lot of our colleagues at a conference in Los Angeles right before it, But we knew something was happening. There was a lot of buzz. There was a feeling, and it was coming from our guides. I can tell you, I stocked up on toilet paper and paper towels. I had N95 masks already because I have asthma, and sometimes somebody will come to my office sick. But I went and bought more before that, thinking, why am I doing that? So rather than tell us flat up what's coming, they gave certain people a heads up because they could see it being created in the quantum field before it manifested here.
Did they warn you?
No. It was more of a just brace yourself type of feeling. Something is afoot. And it's not because that guides did it to us or God did it to us. What they've been explaining, and I've been talking to other colleagues that are in touch with guides, they've been explaining that everything gets created in this quantum field before it manifests here, and they could see it developing. Our loved ones in spirit have come through in readings to me and other mediums saying, we saw it developing when we were hoping it wouldn't happen, but then bam, it did. Now what we're finding is that this is going to go on for years, just like we get a flu shot, or, you know, some people get flu shots every year. Now there'll be a COVID something type of flu shot, a new variant, and things like this going on. And it's not being done to us or for us. It simply is. It's what we do with it. It's how we treat each other that really matters right now.
So in your opinion, it's here to stay, in their opinion too.
Well, it seems to be. I haven't found a whole lot of conflicting information as they watch that quantum field, but I will tell you that we have free will and we can make changes, and we don't necessarily have to have two different flu shots every single year, but that's what it's looking like right now.
Suzanne Wilson with us. Her website is carefreemedium.com. We'll take calls with her next hour. What if you're tricked? Can people be tricked by entities, spirit guides, what have you?
Well, I mentioned the fellow that I worked with before, and I've done some more research, and I have found that these are not spirit guides. If it can be someone's own neurosis or psychosis, and I'm by no means an expert in any of the mental health field, but you have to look at the quality of the information that's coming in. You have to look at the emotion that accompanies the thought or the insight that comes to you. Like, for example, if you get an insight that you need to suddenly sell all of your stock and there's a panicky feeling with that, wow, think about that twice. Do a little more research first. But if you start having these dreams where you're meeting with investment advisors, they're talking about things, you know, that you need to sell off, they're giving you a time frame, it comes in very calm, it comes in every night in your dreams, that's something to pay attention to. There's a big difference.
There's a huge difference, isn't there?
Yeah. It has to do with how we receive information, and that's why it's so important to have good nutrition, to keep magnesium, potassium in the body, to be hydrated, to be grounded, to not try to use spirit guides to hurt someone else so that you can get ahead. The ways that you get tricked and you go down the wrong path and think that, you know, you're being blessed by the gods, as it were, that is if you're abusing your body and you're abusing others. If you're not doing those things, you are safe.
As a species, are we getting better, more intuitive, or less?
We're going to get more intuitive. It's already happening. People they're having to think a lot harder and make more decisions, and they have had more time to sit and wonder, is this all there is in life? Is there more? Am I becoming whom I'm supposed to be? I've never been asked so many times, what is my life purpose, as I have since the COVID pandemic. So I hope and pray that we're becoming more intuitive, but we are certainly becoming more introspective.
What is the mind-body challenge, Suzanne?
That is the centuries-old challenge in philosophical thinking about who we are, going back to the 17th century.
Way
you
back.
Probably heard this before. Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore, I am.
Yep.
So, you know, Descartes came up with, as a philosopher and a scientist, this thought of duality. And since then, you know, there's been a battle for how we look at consciousness and how we look at who we are. Is the body the soul? Is the body what it is? Are we just a materialist being in the materialist line of thought, which is you can't prove it and quantify it and replicate it, it's not real. And I think it's more accepted now that there really isn't a problem. It's more of a philosophical line of thought, a metaphysical line of inquiry. But there's enough evidence out there now, George, to know that our consciousness is not inside of our brain. Our consciousness is non-local.
I always believe that, too.
Yeah, I know you do. I think you have a good intuitive sense about you, and you get together a lot of information. The thing is, we have to be critical thinkers. We have to take information from lots of different sources. So why not include our own spirit guides?
Since I was a little kid, Suzanne, I've been interested in these subjects. I don't know why, but I mean, I've been fascinated by it. I mean, my mother introduced me to UFOs with the Look magazine books and things like that, and the magazine and things like that about Barney and Betty Hill and the abduction case. But I've always been interested in the paranormal, the supernatural, and I can't explain why.
Well, I'm not going to tune into you, but I'm going to tell you because I know that, you know, you like your privacy, but I will just say intuitively, I suspect that you have a non-human intelligent being guide yourself, ET, if you will, and that you're friends when you're in between lives. You come about this interest and this lifelong pursuit, honestly, it's part of who you are.
That could be. Now, do these guides stay with you forever until you pass on, or maybe even in the afterlife?
Thank you for asking that, because people have this idea of, I need to know my spirit guides, I need to know their names, I need to know how many. I can tell you a point in time, which is now, when I tune into you, because you will likely have one, possibly two, that stay with you the whole time, and others, I say they come and go for a season or a reason. They're your subject matter experts. They come in for what you need them to help you with.
Can a spirit guide handle one or two more human beings, or are they just with one?
Sure. We got to keep in mind one thing. They're not here just doing us favors and helping us out for grins and giggles and fun, and they're being of service, yes, but in the couple hundred years of research from mediums who go into trance and have spirit guides channel through them, we hear time and time again that the spirit guides need us to learn and to grow in their servant leadership abilities, and you know, they study, they learn, and it is a symbiotic relationship.
Are the guides dead people, or what are they?
Quite often. They've lived many lives, mostly on Earth, not always. But, I mean, how can you help an Earth person if you haven't had a lot of life experience on Earth, right? But they can come from other dimensions, other planets, other vibrations as well. It's the expertise that they offer that you need that attracts them to you. And I'm not just going on my own experience here. I'm going on the experience of Maurice Barbanel, his guide Silver Birch, Gordon Higginson with Chu Chow and Patty, Estelle Roberts, Red Cloud. When we analyze the literature of the transcripts of these guides coming in and giving these inspired addresses and the channeling, there is a tone, there is a tenor, there is a consistency in things that they said before there was an internet where these things could be uploaded and replicated. So this is real stuff, George.
It really is. Now, you have mentioned on past programs about ETs and spirit guides. Tell us about that again.
You know, and it's funny, too, because the last time we talked last year, I remember saying, gosh, there seems to be a lot more ET contact with my students and clients.
Sure.
Even ones that say, you know, they said, I don't want them. I never asked for the ETs, but they're coming in, or I've got a new guide and they don't seem human, but I love them. I love the vibration and all that. And I think it's because of the fact that consciousness is changing now, and that we've had a global crisis in many ways. I think of Star Trek and that prime directive of do no harm, and I think that it feels like my own guide is even telling me recently that the extraterrestrials are really kind of tormented right now because they want to give more help, but they're not really supposed to cross a certain line.
They're being pulled in two different directions, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Who created the spirit guides? God?
God. And if you're not a religious person, you're hearing this, just substitute the word source.
Okay, and who assigns them to us? How does that process happen?
They do. It appears to be an agreement. It appears to be a soul-to-soul agreement. Before we incarnate, there are certain talks that go on. I don't believe that every single thing that happens to us is planned, because that would negate free will. What would be the point of coming here if we're just puppets on a stage? But there's certain overall life lessons we want to have, and we attract those guides then. But then when we're here, we've got a guide and a guardian angel helping us, and they're managing the team that comes and goes and works with us. And that is a system, a cycle that we see repeated a lot.
I strongly believe, Suzanne, that some of our spirit guides or guardian angels have been selected to save us from imminent danger, too. Not just intuition and mental things, but literally to save our lives.
And they love to talk about it. They love to talk about it with mediums. They love to talk about it with each other. It's one of those things that in the discussion circles in the other dimension, they'll go, hey, my person just about stepped into oncoming traffic, and I pulled him back by the collar, and I saved him. Isn't that cool? And it's just one of those things where, you know, if there wasn't a potential death date for the person that they're with, if it's like, there's no potential death date around now, I've got to pull them out, I've got to save them, that you can walk away without a scratch. But if being injured would be in the service of your soul's growth, you might get injured. So, you know, they're constantly weighing all these priorities and goals and objectives and trying to do right by us. But, yes, they do save us when it's the right thing to do.
I'll always remember a truck driver call I had years ago on the program who was telling me a story that he was driving kind of tired late at night on a windy road way up there in the cliffs. And he's making lefts and rights and lefts and rights, and it's nighttime, and he doesn't have much room on the road before the cliff was on the side. And he said, I woke up, I kind of dozed off and then kind of woke up again, and I felt like I was going right over the cliff, and I saw a hand on my steering wheel, it wasn't mine, pulling the truck back onto the road. It literally saved my life. Now, what the heck was that all about, right?
That's remarkable. And that could be a loved one in spirit intervening. And because the guides are saying, look, you're not going to believe what's happening to your loved one, and we're about to intervene. Would you like to put your hand on the wheel? Could be the guide. It could be the guardian angel. But there, apparently it wasn't time. I think we have several different times where we could exit this live, and he didn't have that point there. And what a blessing. I'll bet a lot of people are so happy to hear you say that, because they've had something like that too, and they think they're nuts.
Yep, Absolutely. I remember, and my mother was born in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, and her parents owned a furniture store, but a number of apartments above the furniture store. And they lived in one that had a whole floor. And, you know, they had their family and the kids, and they must have had like 7 bedrooms and stuff like that. And we would go up there for the summer all the time. And one day, the apartment at night was on fire. The smoke was coming up into the room, and we were all asleep. And I remember being woken up by what looked like a fireman, and he woke everybody up, and we all ran outside, and a fire truck did show up, but nobody knew who this guy was. The fire truck hadn't gotten there yet.
In a lot of the literature, we find that angels will don a human appearance, even if just for a very, very brief while.
So not to scare you, maybe?
Intervene or have this very important conversation on the bus with someone and then never get on that bus on that route again. It is not uncommon at all.
All right. Well, it's just amazing to be sure. We're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM and take some phone calls with Suzanne Wilson on Coast to Coast AM.